This morning I want to continue the message we started last Sunday morning. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Revelation in chapter number 1. The book of Revelation in chapter number 1. Last Sunday morning we began a message about God's final message to this world. I believe, my friend, that we are living in the very, very, very last hours. I don't say that to try to impress you. I don't say that to try to be sensational, but I do believe that we are living in the very last hours. We are seeing, as in different parts of the country, different parts of the world, a great moving of God, folks that are being saved. And my friend, if you're sitting here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't know the Lord, then today is the day. Don't wait. You may not have a tomorrow. This may be it. This may be the last Sunday. This could be the very last opportunity that God would give unto you. You may say, preacher, I'm a young person. Doesn't matter. This may be the last opportunity. I believe that when the Lord comes back in the clouds, when the Lord comes in the rapture, that the dead in Christ are going to be risen. The living are going to be changed. And there will be countless scores of people going to be left behind. Amen. I don't say that jokingly. I don't say that. I say it very sorrowfully, because there's going to be church members that's going to be left behind. Sister Gail, I believe there's going to be some folks that have gone to churches all their life, and they have read their Bible. They have been deceived by the devil to think that they, just because they signed a pledge card, just because they said some prayer, just because they joined the church, or just because they did something, that they think that they're going to heaven. My friend, may I say to you, it's not based on what you can give. It's not based on water baptism. But have you got turn it on in the next category. And your young men shall see visions. Don't let that scare you either. You know what part of my dream is? To see other people come to Christ.
Amen.
My dream is this. Not so that I can plant my laurels on my shoulder and say, look what praise I have done before the glory of God, just to say, look what Jesus said. I'm only a mouthpiece. I'm nothing. Listen, God called me to preach over 40-some years ago. There's no preacher in our family. You say, why? I don't know. I do not know why God called me to preach. I am the least of the least. But one thing I know, God called me. God gave me a message. And I want to see the dreams achieved. I want to see folks come to Christ. Oh, listen, my friend. I want to see people walk the aisle. I want to see people get baptized. Bless my heart. Last week, Kim stood at the door. And here she is, not in good health. Sharon's sister, she stood back out the door. And she said, when are we going to have another baptismal service? I said, we'll have one next month when it gets real nice and hot. We'll get all them deacons down in that cold water. Amen. She got saved here. March, she told me she had it memorized. March the 15th, I believe it was. Thank God for that. Amen.
Yes.
Glory!
Amen.
Thank God for those that have, this year I counted seven folks that have been birthed into the family of God, walk this aisle, either here or either in my office or somewhere out in the parking lot. Glory to God, we've seen folks saved in the parking lot. What does it say? In those days, and upon thy servants, upon thy handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Can I tell you something, my friend? One thing, as I get older and the longer I'm in the ministry, understand this. It's not by might. It's not by strength. It's not by the beautiful buildings. Listen, up yonder in Burlington, right beside a Interstate 40 in a tent that's hot, there's 2,600 people coming in by the busloads. What's drawing them there? It's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. I can't do it. You can't do it, but the Spirit of God can do it. And notice in that, and let's get on with this. And he said, I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood. We've already seen the four blood moons over the last 2 years. There's been prophecies that have been related to the blood moons on the feast days of the Israelites, the Jewish feast day, the Jewish Sabbath days. They have coincided with those blood moons. What am I saying? I believe God's just putting all the pieces together. He's just getting ready to come back, my friend. You best get ready, my friend. He's coming again. Daddies, you better get your children in church. Mamas, you better be praying for your daughters. Listen, kids, you better be asking God to save your parents. Why? Because there's coming a day. Listen to me. If you're listening to my voice this morning, whether you're sitting in this auditorium, whether you're hearing on radio, whether you're hearing on the internet, and you reject the message of Jesus Christ today, I do not believe that they will come. There will come a time that when the rapture of the church takes place, you will not be saved. Some people say, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to hold that notion. If you reject him today while the Spirit of God is working, you're not going to get saved later. Sorry. If you think you're a better theologian, then you show it to me. But my Bible teaches me over in Thessalonians that he that will let the Holy Ghost of God, when we live out of here, when these sisters live out of here, when these deacons live out of here, when this preacher leaves out of here, the Holy Ghost of God leaves out of here, and 3 years going to be left behind to go through hell on this earth. That's one of the visions that John saw, and we'll preach about it if we have time. But notice what he said. The sun, the moon be turning to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now look in verse 32. Does that sound familiar to you? Look in verse number 32. Watch it now. Those of you know your Bibles. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be, and he uses the word delivered. What does Romans chapter 10 verse 9 say? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was no accident that Joel wrote this here long before Paul wrote over in Romans. Long before Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, penned it. Thou shalt be saved. No accident. And here's what I want you to think about, and then we're going to get over here in just a minute. Just hang with me just a little bit, all right? I guarantee you, I'm going to put food out on there. Amen. Somebody said that the seed cannot endure longer than what the taste buds can smell. And so I understand that. We'll get to that good food in just a minute. But here's what I want you to see. How many of you believe what I just read to you in the Word of God is true? Would you raise your hand? How many of you believe Jesus is coming again? Now, what you may not understand is this. The prophecies that we just read had to do with the second coming, not the rapture. What do you mean, preacher? Let me illustrate it this way. Rodney, come here and help me out. Craig, come here and help me out. Okay? I just want to show you, and then we're going to get to the message. Rodney, you stand right here. Craig, you stand over yonder near Steve. Rodney's going to represent the rapture of the church. There are no signs of the rapture of the church. You say, preacher, when is the rapture of the church going to take place? I don't know when, but I know it's coming. Amen? I know it's a coming. And when it comes, the saints of God, we're going up, but then we're coming back. So who was it yesterday talking about riding a horse? Glory to God. Was it Gwen? I think it was Gwen. I'm not going to embarrass her because I can't ride no horse. But I know one thing, sister. Over yonder in Revelation 19, when they say that the armies of heaven, they come back riding on horses. I know one thing. They're going to get me one. It might be a Clydesdale, but they're going to get me one. Amen. Here's the rapture right here. Where do you think we're at, preacher? Over here at the flag is the cross. I believe somewhere between the cross and right here. But here's what I believe. I believe we're living right here, right beside of it. I believe this. That the rapture is the next thing on God's calendar. And when the rapture takes place, I wish we could jump, but we can't. We're going up. Now, we're going up 7 years later. We're coming back over here. We're coming back right here. Now, you can be seated. Why did I say that? I want you to understand the prophecy we just read has to do with the second coming over here. Now, if you're seeing the blood moons now, if you're seeing the prophecy now, if you're seeing the Spirit of God being poured out now, guess what? The rapture, my friend, it's not foretold. There's no signs of that. There's signs for the second coming. No signs for the rapture. But if we're seeing the signs over yonder right now, 7 years down the road, right now, we're seeing those things start to come to pass. The Spirit of God being poured out. Scores of people coming to be saved. The moon, the sun, the signs of heaven. We're seeing some of them right now. How much closer? How much closer? Y'all with me? I got 10 minutes. Turn over to Revelation. 5 things that John saw. I gave you one last week. I'll give you another one today. All these start with the letter H. First of all, John saw the vision of the Holy One. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter number 1 of Revelation. The only place in your Bible that you find a description of Jesus. Let me tell you something right quick. He is not still on the cross. Amen. Glory to God! Don't get me started on this, but I'm going to say it anyway. These folk today, and there's some denominations, there's some religions, they still have Jesus on the cross. I went out west, been out west several times. I walked into some Catholic churches out there. And they got this, one of them had a glass coffin up front. And they had Jesus' body, what they thought was Jesus', a replica of Jesus' body in that glass coffin. Folks would walk by. Of course, they had the Virgin Mary and everything like that. My friend, let me tell you something. He's not in no glass coffin. He's not in no tomb. He's risen. He's not on the cross. No, sir. Thank God he went to the cross. He died on the cross. He suffered on the cross. But he was taken off the cross, put in that tomb. And for 3 days and 3 nights, he was in the heart of the earth. For 3 days and 3 nights, my Savior, my friend, listen, my Savior was down in the heart of the earth. But thank God he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And John saw him in chapter number 1. And he said, John, I'm the one that was dead. And I'm alive. And I got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah.
Church to pray a week ago Wednesday night. My wife and I got back from our little trip. My daughter, bless her heart, she went to lock the deadbolt on our house. And when she did, she broke the key off in the deadbolt. I heard the sighs and the moan. But we had the church to pray Wednesday night. How do you believe in the power of prayer? I had my sister pray on the way home. You got home? I have to give credit to my wife. She tried to take a pair of tweezers and get that key out. It didn't work. Windows was locked. Door was locked. I walked around to the back and nothing against Craig and James. They did the work. Praise God for good work. But that storm door was locked on the back. And I said, Lord, if you would, just let me get in this door here without having to bust it down, break any glass. I tugged on it 3 times. Guess what? Door come open, took my key, and went in the house. Power of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
But what does these keys signify? There's a key on here, right here, this key right here, that big old key right there. I don't know why Brother James gave me such a big one. I guess he figured I could see it without my glasses. That goes to my office back yonder. And as far as I know, he and me are the only ones in this church that's got a key to that office back yonder. You know what that speaks of? Only he and me, he and I, we can go in that door. I don't have a key to your house. I don't have a key to your house. That speaks of authority. But thank God Jesus has the keys of death. He took them away. He took the keys away from Satan himself. And that speaks of authority. He's got all authority over death, over life. He's got all power. Not just a little bit. He's got all.
Amen.
John saw the vision of the Holy One. Second of all, notice second thing that John saw his church. Notice in chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. Oh, listen. John saw the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He addresses the church in chapters 2 and chapter 3. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, listen to this old preacher. Jesus said, upon this rock will I build my church. And friend, he was not talking about the Catholic Church. He was not talking about Peter being the first pope. He said, I'll build my church upon myself, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Honey, the church is not going down. She's going up. I hear people complain all the time. I know the statistics. I read the statistics. I read those statistics. 1,500 preachers quit every month. 4,000 churches across the United States closing their doors, never to reopen again every month. I read those statistics. Average attendance on Sunday morning, 75 people in our average churches across America. We have more people on Sunday morning that are staying at home in America than the whole country of Russia has in population. We've got more Americans sitting at home on Sunday morning than the people of Russia populate the entire state of Russia. That's a shame. Thank God for you, though. Amen. And the church is going up. She's not going down. I'm talking about the true church, the born again, blood washed throne of God. I'm not talking about those that shake a preacher's hand. I'm talking about those that's been beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus. Third of all, quickly, I got a lot of things to say in a short time to say them. John saw the holy scene in heaven, chapters 4 and 5. There was a door that was open. I believe that was the trump of God sounding. Three things that John saw there When that door opened, he saw a throne, not a cross. He saw a throng of people. And then he saw a thrill. Chapter number 4. I don't have time to preach all of it to you this morning. But John saw a thrill in chapter number 4 and chapter number 5. In chapter number 4, there's an elder in chapter number 4 that said, "Who is worthy to come and open the seal and break the seal?" And John said, there was crying. In chapter number 5, he said in verse number 4, chapter 5, if you're with me, "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book and to look therein." Here's this book in heaven. And this elder said, "Who is worthy?" In chapter number 5, verse number 2, the angel said, "Who is worthy to come open the book and loose the seals?" And no man, verse number 3, no man in heaven nor in earth, was neither under the earth, was able to open the book and look therein. And they searched heaven. And all of a sudden, verse number 5, one of the elders looked over at John and he said, "John, quit your crying." He said, "Dry your tears." He said, "Look over yonder." And he said, "I saw," look at verse 5 there. He said, "I saw as it was a lamb that had been slain." And he said, "The lamb, the root of David, he is worthy." My friend, listen, you're not worthy. I'm not worthy. But the Lord God of heaven, he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to open. You say, what's inside that book? It's the title deed to this planet Earth. Adam and Eve sold us down the drain in the book of Genesis. Now God's going to redeem this old earth. I got news for you, honey. You read the last chapter of this book, you'll find that there's a new heaven, a new earth. I'm coming back down here one of these days. I've never been to Jerusalem. I've never seen the sights of Jerusalem. By the way, I don't think I really want to go. I heard some more killings over yonder in Tel Aviv the other day. I'm really excited about going over there right now. But I got news for you. One of these days, in the millennial kingdom of God, when he sets upon the throne of David, when he reigns in righteousness, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I will see the sights. I will see the tomb. I will see the place in which they laid the Savior. I will see all those wonderful sights. Because why? Because he, my friend, is coming back again. Sit on the throne of David and rule in righteousness. And he ain't going to be no independent libertarian, Republican, Democrat. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But here John saw a vision of heaven. I want to get to this, and then we'll be done this morning. I'm going to have to skip. Chapter 6 through 19, he saw the hell on earth. I wish I had time. Maybe we'll come back and pick that up some other time. But John saw the tribulation period. My friend, I cannot describe the tribulation period in detail. All I can tell you, my friend, is this, is there's going to be war, bloodshed. You think inflation prices are bad? You wait till that time. If you're living, oh my soul, there'll be inflation will rise. Folks will not, they'll have to work a whole day to buy one day's worth of food. There'll be famine. There'll be pestilence. You talk about this Zika virus, that ain't nothing. You talk about some of these animal diseases that's being transferred over to man, that ain't nothing yet. There's coming a day. In that tribulation period, my friend, there's going to be, the heavens going to roll back like a scroll. You talk about the heat, today's supposed to be up near 100, there ain't nothing. There's coming a day, the Bible says, that there's going to be so hot that there'll be sores break out on men, and they'll be scorched with the heat of the sun. They'll wish to die, they'll try to die, and they cannot die. You say, you believe that? I believe this book. They'll seek death, and death will flee from them. Hailstones fall out of heaven, weighing 100 pounds apiece. If they were to hit a man, they'd bury him 3-4 feet in the ground. There's coming a day. There's going to be demon-like creatures come out of the pit of the abyss. The hell's going to open up. These demon creatures are going to come out. They're going to sting man. They're going to have a face like a man. They're going to have wings. They're going to have a tail like a scorpion. They're going to fly around, and they're going to sting man for 5 months. I wish I have time to go into that. But I want to get to this, and then we're going to close this morning. Last thing I want you to see. Look in chapter 21 and 22. John saw this. John saw heaven, and John saw hell. In chapter number 21, John saw the beauty of heaven. He saw the streets of transparent gold, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl. I wonder how many of you this morning, you have a loved one. I'm not trying to play on your emotions, but I just want to say, how many of you have a loved one on the other side in heaven? You know they're in heaven. Raise your hand. You know what? If you're saved by the good grace of God, you'll see them again. You'll walk on those streets. You'll see the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper. You'll see, my friend, all the saints of God. You'll see Jesus on his throne. What a blessed sight that will be. But then John saw the horrors of hell. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the sea gave up the dead which are in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. And one by one, they were brought before the Holy God. You see, if you die without Christ, you're not going to be able to hide behind mama or daddy. By the way, you're not going to have clothes to put on. But one by one, the dead, small and great, whether they're buried in the ocean, whether they're cremated or whatever, God's going to put their bodies back together. They're going to come and they're going to stand before God. They're going to have to answer to the Lord God Almighty. You don't have to answer this preacher. Now, I don't know what somebody would be thinking. Well, I'm a preacher. I'm a good person. I treat my neighbor right. I get some money to the church every now and then. I need to read my Bible every now and then. I'm a good person. I believe in treating everybody like you ought to be treated. That's wonderful. But did you realize that's not what you're going to be judged about? It's not going to be judged about how bad a person you are. There'll be some murderers that stand there. There'll be some rapists. There'll be those people, ISIS, that stand there that chop Christians' heads off and set fire to women over yonder and burn them. They'll stand there. One by one. But you know what you will give an account for? The Lord God of all this universe will look at you. And this is what he'll say. You remember on June the 12th, 2016, you sat in Harmony Baptist Church and you heard an old-fashioned preacher preach about me. And you walked out that door and you said, no, that's what you'll be judged for. How many times have you taken a tract and thrown it to the side? How many times has a preacher preached and you've been convicted and you said, no, not today, preacher, maybe tomorrow?
There's a young man in Cleveland, Ohio. The preacher stood and preached a message on hell. The young man walked forward that night, a Christian young man. Took the preacher by the hand and said, preacher, I want to rededicate my life. He said, that's wonderful, son. Why did you come? What made you come tonight? He said, preacher, I saw hell this week. He said, I work in a nearby hospital. Back in those days, they called them orderlies. I guess they don't have those terms today, but anyway, this young man was an orderly in a nearby hospital. In the same town of Cleveland, Ohio, there's a pharmaceutical company, they tell me. In that pharmaceutical company, in their research and development department, there was a man that worked in that research and development department. They had come up with a new chemical that they used to sterilize test tubes with. They would take this chemical, just a small, minute part of this chemical, and put it in a test tube. And when it came in contact with water, it would ignite. And it would sterilize the test tube. It would just ignite, and the fire would erupt, and it would just burn it clean. Well, this man decided he would take some of that material home with him one night. And so he did. Had it at his house for a while, and one night he decided they had a big party going on, a drinking party. That man remembers this chemical that he had taken from the stolen from the pharmaceutical lab. And he goes and gets this chemical and he tells his friend, he says, come over here to the sink, I want to show you something. He takes an eyedropper of that chemical, takes some of it in an eyedropper, drops one drop into the sink. When it hits the water, it just erupts in a flame. His guests were impressed. He says, watch, I'll do it again. And he took and threw another drop into the sink, and sure enough, and when it hit the water, just erupted in a flame. His guests were thoroughly impressed. He
exhausted state, he staggers and he falls with that vial in his hand. And when he does, it spills over his face and over his head. This young man that came forward to the church was working at the hospital when they brought him in. He said when they rushed him in, you could hear him screaming, "Help! Help somebody! Somebody do something! I'm in hell! Somebody, I'm on fire! Somebody help me!" He said as they rushed that man into the emergency room that night, sweat began to drop down his face, and everywhere a drop of sweat came out of his skin, the flame of the blood started burning. They rushed him back into the emergency room. A nurse came in. The first thing she did, she did not understand the properties of that chemical. She reaches over and grabs a bottle of sterile water to try to wipe his face off. And she douses the rag with water and wipes that man's face, and all of a sudden flames dance on his face 3 feet up in the air, burns the nurse's hand. She jumps back. The man is screaming right now, "Help! Please, somebody. I'm in hell. Somebody kill me. Do something." This orderly is standing there. He said it took four of us to hold him down. The doctor walks in. The doctor is a Christian. He looks at those four men and he says, "Boys, hold him down." The doctor reaches over and grabs a scaffold. Because the man cannot go undergo anesthesia, he takes a scaffold and begins to carve away at his face. 2 hours pass, he says. The doctor pulls his gloves off and throws them in the trash can, looks over those four young men, and he said, "Guys, this is nothing to what hell is going to be like." That young man said, "Preacher, I can see my friends going to hell. I can see my lost loved ones going to hell. I need to do something about it. I wonder today, if Jesus were to come and you'd go out of this building this morning, did the last service you'd ever hear, would you hear the voice of him? Or would you go out to eternity into a devil's hell?" Would you bow your heads? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our musicians are going to come. There's room at the cross for you. Please, no problem. Young folks, please, this is serious business. Please don't do anything to hinder the service right now. I would ask you the most important question you have ever been asked in all of your days. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Folks are already starting to come. I need some ladies here. I need some ladies here, please. If you were to die today, are you going to heaven? Are you going to hell? There's only two choices. There's no purgatory. There's no coming back. There's no second chance. Heaven or hell, which is it? Fill in the blank. Heaven or hell, which is it? Which is it? So, preacher, I've been a good church member. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if this is the first time you ever set foot in this building. What matters is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're here this morning, somebody we've been praying for, I'm going to call your name. But we've been praying for you. We have been praying that God, in His divine mercy, will fit your heart. And God will draw you. And God will save you. This is your day. This is your path. Get a back of your seat. Come on down here and say, "Preacher, I want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven." Sir, would you do it? Ma'am, would you do it? Young person, would you do it? Right now. Right now. While we stand, everyone stand. Make it easier for you. Come on, stand. As you're standing, if you're here today, you don't know Christ. You step right out. You come on right now. When you stand, don't stop. You just keep a walking. Right now. Mama, Daddy, you may need to be on this altar this morning begging and pleading, crying out to the Lord, "Oh God, save my boy, save my girl, save my children." Heavenly Father, do the work of God today. Thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost of God. I pray now the power of God would come down, arrest that young lady, that young man, that man, that woman today. Oh God, send revival. Let it begin even here. in Jesus' name. Mamas, daddies, y'all know how to get a prayer through. Come on, get around this altar and you pray. Maybe by your coming, encourage somebody else that needs to be saved. There's room at the cross. While we sing, you obey the Lord this morning. Sing with me now. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross. Amen. Oh, millions have come. Oh, but there's still room for one. Yes. Your bad eyes are cool. We're going to sing this one more time. I wonder how many of you parents today would say, "Preacher, I've got a child. I've got a child somewhere that's outside the will of God that needs to be saved or whatever." And you'd say, "I'm going to come this morning. I'm going to put myself on this altar." I want you to look this way for just a second. Look this way just a second. Ladies, y'all continue to play. God's not finished just yet. Y'all know. There's room at the cross for you, church member.